I had something else I was working on. And this morning when I came to church, I don't necessarily appreciate it, but everything changed. I want to take you to one verse. And I want to talk about no room just for a few moments. And I'm going to give you about 6 or 7 points why people don't have room. And I want you to look at these. And I'm not doing it because I believe that you're not saved. I'm doing it so you can deal with people who need to experience the living Christ of Bethlehem. Amen? How many of you ever heard any excuses why people don't accept Christ? And so we just come to a place where we really just simply want to just diffuse some arguments. I'm going to tell you something. He's not a babe. And there's no such thing as a holiday tree. Amen? Amen? There's no such thing as a holiday tree. It's a Christmas tree. And when you walk through Walmart and they say happy holidays, say no, 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 no. Just look at them and say, no, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. I was going through last year and a lady said, happy holidays. I said, can't you say Christmas? She looked at me, what do you mean? I said, did the store tell you you couldn't say Christmas? And I said, because if they did, we're not shopping here. If you go someplace and you want to buy a Christmas present and they call it a holiday, they don't want your money. Because it wasn't Christmas, you wouldn't have a Black Friday. Amen?
Amen.
And so all I want to do this morning is I sat and I jotted down some stuff. I met Scott the other day and he was driving and he said something to me and it just didn't really go away. But I want you to look at something. The most important person ever born that ever walked the face of the earth, there was no room for him. He's more important than having our first Black president. He's more important than the man who wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. He's more important than George Washington. He's more important than any other person who's ever set their foot or their feet on planet Earth. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the Bible says he had to be born in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. No room. I jotted down some things this morning and I just want to talk to you about them. I want you to understand them. Reasons why people do not accept Jesus Christ. Number one, and we'll go over this on a Wednesday night in discipleship class, because they're ignorant of the fact that they need to. Ignorant doesn't mean that they're dumb. It's just that they don't know. There are people that you'll come in contact with who don't know they need to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. There are people around you that are ignorant to the fact that they need to accept Jesus Christ. Let them know. Amen?
Amen.
How many are you going to let somebody know they need Christ? Amen. Number two is that people's pride will keep them from accepting Jesus Christ. People's pride. Now, if you've been around and you've breathed and you've talked to somebody, you've heard these words, I'm a good person. Why would I need Jesus? I'm a good person. That's pride, friends. Somebody's pride is talking, saying, I'm a good person. When Scott and I were meeting, he was talking about Isaiah 14, where God is looking at Satan and saying, you have said in your heart that you're going to rise above the throne. You're going to be like the Most High. And because you've said that, you're going to be brought down. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 21 that he was the most anointed cherub until iniquity was found in his heart. That means the pride brought him down. And if pride can turn an archangel into a devil, what does it do to our lives? Scott mentioned a verse, and it's such a beautiful verse at the end of this whole scenario in Isaiah 14. It says that the people are going to look at Satan and say, "Are you the one that troubled us? Are you the one that did this to us?" They're going to look at him in scorn. Why? Because he allowed pride to take over his life, and he was going to become like God. Listen to me, folks. When you meet someone who says, "Well, I'm just a good person, I don't need this Jesus," just pray under your breath, "Lord, break that pride in Jesus' name." He'll destroy you. Number three. You know this one. Why do I need to do anything? I believe in God. I believe in God. How many of you believe in God here this morning? Amen. How many just on your belief are going to heaven? None of you. Remember, the devils do what? And tremble? The devils believe and tremble. A mere acknowledgement that you know that there's a God is not enough. How many of you realize that in the Old Testament they never had salvation like we did? How many understand that? How many of those people in the Old Testament knew there was a God? Do you think Moses did? Do you think the children of Israel did? Do you think all the people did? Sure they did. Why? They knew every morning when the manna and the quail came that God was providing it, but they still needed an experience. When someone says, "I believe in God," ask them this. If you believe in God, do you believe what he says? Remember that. I believe in God, yeah, but do you believe what he says? In other words, do you believe that he says you had to be born again? Do you believe that he says, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart belief is made unto righteousness"? We need to believe, but we need to respond to that belief. Number four. Hang on now. I go to church and I have my own religion. You ever hear that? I go to church and I have my own religion. Look at me. How many of you were picked up by God and carried here this morning? You didn't have to get in your car. You didn't have to do anything. You just woke up, and next thing you knew, you were in church. What did you have to do this morning? You had to start the car? Did you have to, somebody had to, how many of you drove? You just didn't happen to come here. Can I tell you something? Whatever you had to do to get to the church that you go to is a work. God didn't do it for you. I had a conversation with a man the other day, and he was talking about baptism. Don't let me rain on your parade now. When someone's baptized here, usually I or Kirk are doing it. It's a work. God didn't do it. How many of you had God came down and baptized? Don't you? Didn't happen. Going to church is a work. It's not going to save you. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of works. It's a what? Gift of God, not anybody can boast about. When somebody tells you they go to church, they say that's nice. You know where Jesus met most of his demons at? Synagogue, yeah. Those demons will take you captive if you let them. Number four, I just don't believe. I just don't believe in God. You know something? Look him right in the eye and say, buddy, someday you will. Someday you will. You know, how do you like to be in these shoes? All of a sudden, you're standing before God at the great white throne judgment, and he says, and you never believed? You didn't believe? It's going to happen. There are people going to say, I didn't think there was this place. How many have seen Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames? Rude Awakening. Number five. I love this one. A loving God will never send anybody to hell. A loving God will never send anyone to hell. Don't let that diffuse you. Just look him in the eye and say, God sends you where you choose to go. God lets you go where you want to go. And if you really want to go to heaven, you're going to live your life for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like this one too. Every once in a while I can get cute. I don't want to go to church with hypocrites. You ever hear that? All those people in that church are hypocrites. Look them in the eye, in love, and say, my brother, I'd rather go to church with them than go to hell with them.
Amen.
You see, Jesus died for mankind. And you know, how many of you are absolutely, radically confident that the government's going to mess up health care if they pass it? How many of you? How many have absolute, wonderful confidence in those 465 congressmen and those 100 senators and the president that nothing's going to get messed up? Come on. So let me ask you this. If they can mess up health care and cap and trade and everything else, don't you think man can mess up God's plan of salvation? Amen. Come on. Why do we embrace what man says and ignore what God says? Why do we come to a place of just hook, line, and sinker, swallow the doctrines of demons, the doctrines of the devil, and believe what man says when right in here we have everything we need right here? We're going to take some time Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's and just go over this stuff. Hear me. You got to know. And I like what Kirk was saying. I believe it was Kirk this morning. Jesus Christ is no longer in a manger and he's no longer on a cross. He lives forever to make intercession for us. And friends, there's answers. There's legitimate answers for everyone who denies the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now here's the deal, and we're done. What about you? What about me? Have I added some of my opinions? Have I added some of my thoughts? Have I listened to people who deny? Have I listened to people who say, well, you're such a good person? That feeds my ego. I was talking to a guy that was partially blind yesterday, I believe. He was only 85 or 90 years old, and he looked at me and he said, you're not in your 60s yet. I don't think he could see me. Come on. And I said, thank you, sir, but I think I is. But it helps to run around with blind people when you get my age. But you know, there will be people who tell you what you want to hear about God. And why would we listen to someone talking about God who doesn't have the relationship? Amen? Why would we listen to someone who doesn't know what they're talking about God? You don't want a mechanic giving you heart surgery. No, Jason, we don't. And you might not want a doctor working on your car. Therefore, when it comes to God, let's take what God says. Let's apply it, put it to use, and go for it.